Earnest. Peace. Time for himself. Precious recovery and equipping space for Jesus. Perhaps we can all recognize that need in our own lives. Time without commitments. Time just to be. From hearing of the killing of John the Baptist, then attempting to find solitude, but called instead to healing, and then miraculously feeding the crowd of thousands. No wonder Jesus immediately sent the disciples away afterwards. He dismissed the crowds, and then at last went up a mountain to pray, as so often he did. To be alone, but at one with God, surrounded by the wonder and beauty of creation all around. There's something powerful, moving, about being up a mountain, away from the noise and activity of human living. Here, time was not measured, just prayerfully used for the journey ahead. The Sea of Galilee could be still and calm, and then suddenly, through the wind rushing down between the hills, the surface could be lashed up into a storm. The disciples, fishermen, would recognize that. But this night was different, because they saw a figure walking towards them over the surface, and they were terrified. But wouldn't we have been? Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Jesus didn't say his name, but it is I. From the Greek, the word that is used here is the same word used to reveal the divine name of God. I am, to Moses at the burning bush. And so Jesus was saying that as Son of God, he was also one with God. Of all the disciples in the boat, it was only Peter. Peter of such impact among the disciples. It was he who had the courage to get out of the boat after Jesus had confirmed it was him. When Jesus simply said, "Come," Peter walked towards him on the water. What a miracle. Just one word, calm. But it was only when Peter stopped focusing on Jesus that he began to panic and sink. But Jesus wouldn't let him drown. Jesus rescued him, as he does us when our faith falters for whatever reason. And it brought to mind a hymn from Hymns Old and New, one that I chose many years ago for a little hymn book, A Trinity, or Trinity Praise. And the chorus goes, "Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, I'll be with you. You will never sink beneath the waves. Do not be afraid. The storm ceased when Jesus got into the boat, and it was then that the other disciples truly believed and worshipped their Lord. Worship in action and awareness is our life, our calling with Jesus at the centre. Whatever we're going through, Jesus' love for us is unbreakable and unconditional. He is our strength. We are called to trust him and be guided by the Holy Spirit within us. We may find it hard to step out of the safety and familiarity of our boat, but living from faith holds an emerging joy and a rare freedom and peace. This is the message of Paul, writing to the Romans, emphasizing the difference in living rigidly by the Jewish law, or believing the gospel in the light of Christ's coming. All that they were working towards was revealed in Christ. The gospel is for everyone, Jew or Gentile, and in faith, we know that it needs to be shared. People must go, get out of their boats like itinerant ministers, preach the gospel in their living, and the people who hear their message must be met by faith. But I wonder, how often do we talk about our faith? Who should we say that we are a Christian? A number of years ago, I remember being in the post office, just before Christmas. It was full, it was busy, there was a long queue. But there was one man that kept saying, "Christ this, Christ that." And I thought, no, this is right. So I turned to him and I said, "I'm so pleased you think so much about Christ." He looked horrified, but he never said it again. Not while I was there. Sometimes we need to come out with who we are. So I'll share with you the wonder of our Lord, the way things work out. At the beginning of tonight, I went on a holiday to Constantine on the northern coast. Perhaps some of you know it, and it will bring back memories. And I drove, but this time I got my bus to see the elderly wife of a minister that was here, Reverend Ray Trudgeon. Do some of you remember him? He was known locally as the Chicken Vicar, because he was a judge, a national judge of bantams, of chairs. And he would come, I can remember him at Trinity, up in the morning with a chicken in his arms, just gently sitting when he was saying about Jesus being likened to a mother hen, with her wings outstretched, sheltering her young chicks beneath. Anyway, I went to see Ray Trudgeon's wife, Angie, now 95. Out in a little village. When I came back, I had to get a bus to go back to Hunstanton. A journey of about an hour, because it went through all the country roads, past little villages. It was a single decker, and it was busy. It was full, but I got a seat, and a lady came and sat next to me. Well, I'm not one to stay silent. And I started talking, just generally. And that went on for a few minutes, very easy talking. And then, out of the blue, she said, "I'm a nun preaching." I said, "So am I." And then she said, "I'm a Methodist." We said, "So am I." And her husband was a Methodist minister, the Reverend Richmond Nkume, and he was minister among other churches from Stanton. But he was going to be at the church the next Sunday, and so was I. And I met him. But I thought, if she hadn't said local preacher, we could have talked about anything. But we talked and shared for the whole time on that journey. The manse was in Peacham, on Norfolk Lander Lane, and she got out there, and she was training to be a nurse. She'd taken 2 years of her training, working with the elderly and the end of life, and I thought, she will be ideal. It was amazing. It really was. But it just took that I am a local preacher, or I am a Christian, or I attend Southgate Methodist Church. You never know where it's going to lead. But I said, "You have to be so kind." I asked her, "What's your country of origin?" And she said, "Zimbabwe." And I said, "Oh, we had one lady at Trinity called Cindy Keewin, left us about 20 years ago, but I still write to her perhaps once or twice a year, because that's where she came from." And when I got home, there was a little pile of posts, charity appeals, etc., and only one handwritten letter. And it was Cindy Keewin. It just happened to be, but I've written back to her to tell her, "I've been talking about you." We fed by so many surprises. And when we can see our Lord at work in them, they become even more precious. But we don't always get it right. And I just slip this in. And having a sense of humour and being sane, no, we mustn't judge situations. But a couple of weeks ago, on Thursday, I came back home and I went into the back room, and the hearth was covered in black soot. That's never happened before. And soot travels. It disperses everywhere. Anyway, I thought, must be the hot weather. I'm not going to do anything about it at present, because there might be more down the chimney, which had been swept decades ago when we stopped using fire. And then on Sunday, there was a knock at the door, and from the cul-de-sac near where I live, There was a lady with her 10-year-old daughter saying, "We're putting up posters. Have you seen our cat? It'll be two on last Friday." And it's, she said, "It went missing on Thursday." And I said, "Oh, I'll keep my eyes open." And then that evening, I thought, strange. So down the chimney on Thursday, a cat goes missing on Thursday. It must be the cat. So on Monday, I found the one and only chimney sweep that was in the book. No answer. On the Tuesday, he phoned back to say, "We're away on holiday." And I said, "Do you know any sweep that can a camera on?" "Yes, I give you the number." And I called him and said, "We're very short staffed. And the boss has had to go out to work today. But if it's a cat, the receptionist, he's very cat friendly, he'll come and rescue it." When he came, he was very careful, very clean, very helpful. Put the camera on. And there was a picture. But eventually, he got it down, and I'd been sent out into the back garden to see the brush come up the chimney, but it never got up. And he came out cradling this picture in such gentleness, put it on the carbunker. I said, "We'll leave it there, just for it to recover. 5 days without water." But it was alive. So went back in, cleared up, sorted, came out. And the pigeon had opened its eyes, and it took one look at me, stood up, and flew away. It was so alive, but it was rescued. But we still don't know what's happened to that little cat. I certainly didn't get it right, but somebody came to the rescue. And when we don't get things right, our Lord is always there to rescue us to share with Him. We are so rich. As Christians, we're never off duty. All our Lord asks of us is to trust and believe in Him and to share our faith through love, love and compassion for the life of the kingdom. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. May we leave the comfort of our boat to be the bringer of good news in the days ahead. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks be to God.